You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
OBM, Ohio Business Machines, preferred copier provider of the Cleveland Browns. You know that every day is game day at your office. Call 216-485-2000 or visit ohiobusinessmachines.com. We're going to go now to the OBM call-in hotline and bring in Josh Weinfuss, the ESPN NFL Nation reporter for the Arizona Cardinals. Josh, how you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being with us. Rob Housler in town with the Browns, a team that needs a tight end to replace Jordan Cameron in that pass-catching mold. 6'5", 250, very athletic. What do you think of Housler, and do you think he was ever really given a chance in Arizona to live up to his potential?
Well, you know, I think he fits the role as a pass-catching tight end very well. You know, as far as what happened here in Arizona, he basically, when Bruce Arians took over in 2013, one key component to Arians' offense is having big blocking tight ends. And that's just simply not who Rob Housler is. And
right.
They gave Housler a chance when, you know, during that first offseason under Arians, and he really just didn't emerge as a blocking tight end. That's not what he does. It's not what he does. He's tall, he's lean, he's kind of cut from that basketball player mold. So he just simply didn't fit here, and as his time went on under Aaron in the last 2 years, his role just simply decreased. You know, he had a couple opportunities last season, dropped a few passes, so that kind of, you know, caused him to fall out of favor a little bit in the offense. They even put him in the backfield to try something new once, you know, all the injuries kind of hit. So, but he just wasn't a good fit here. Doesn't mean he's a bad player. He just wasn't the right fit for him.
Josh, I'm just wondering, you know, you said Arians came in 2013. He still was pretty productive in 2013, I guess. Did you guys see it coming in 2014 that he wouldn't be used as much?
Yeah, you know, I think when they brought in John Carlson, because initially going into training camp, you had, you had three or four really big tight ends, and he just wasn't part of that. He just wasn't cut in that same mold. So I think we saw the writing on the wall that his role was going to decrease a little bit. And then, you know, the Cardinals had his name's eluding me right now, the tight end from Ohio State who played with the Giants and the Patriots. I forgot his name
Ballard?
Right now. Yeah, Jake Ballard. Thank you. Yeah. So they had him, but he retired during training camp. So then we thought, you know, maybe Rob Housler's role is going to increase a little bit more. But, you know, in the end, they were just looking for guys who could block off the edge. And that just wasn't who he was.
No, and I think if Jordan Cameron was in that offense, Jordan Cameron would not play much for Bruce Arians either. Jordan Cameron actually graded as a worse run blocker by Pro Football Focus than even Rob Housler. So it is important, but it's a role that you can fill. And the Browns have Jim Dre, who you know from Arizona, who is a good run blocker. Gary Barnage can block as well. They need that pass catcher. He never really got a chance to show his speed, but still last year, averaged about 9 yards after the catch per reception in limited action. The years before that, about 5, which is upper echelon for a tight end. What does he bring to the table, and what could you see him doing were he to be used strictly as a pass catcher, flexed out, and get to run those kind of routes?
Yeah, you know, the one thing that I really liked about him, that he was able to stretch a defense from that tight end position. You know, he does have the foot speed. He is big. And he is kind of a mismatch for some linebackers and defensive backs. And when he can get out in space, he can catch the ball. And he's very capable of making some big plays. But I really like that he had that ability to act almost as a receiver just coming off the line. So when he's able to work a little bit in space, he can really stretch out, especially the interior of a defense, and cause a lot of team problems.
If you're Rob Housler, what do you think he's wanting to hear from the Browns when he's meeting with them?
He wants to hear that he's going to be targeted. He's not going to have to run block very much, and that he wants him. You know, it was pretty clear once kind of the season in Arizona started to wind down that he wasn't going to be brought back. And you know, he wants to be someplace where he can be part of the offense. He really just when he was on the field for most of the time last year, he just wasn't doing much. And I think he wants to have a pass-catching role. And I think that's important for him.
I think it is. Talking with Josh Weinfuss from Arizona, covers the Cardinals for ESPN, talking about Rob Housler, who is in here. I mean, you know, it's interesting. When you kind of put Housler's numbers from 2012 and 2013 next to Cameron's numbers from 2013, they're pretty much the same. Targets, catches, yards are the same. The difference, touchdowns. Was Hausler just not used in the red zone by the Arizona Cardinals?
That's exactly right. Yeah, you know, on a team that has guys like Larry Fitzgerald, when his hand, I mean, the man drops one pass a year, if that. They simply did not need to use a guy like Hausler in the red zone. So, and you know, I think under the last couple of coaches with the Cardinals, you know, Arians and Ken Whisenhunt, if they weren't going to Fitz in the red zone, they were going to run the ball. So he just didn't have a role in the end zone, or in the red zone, excuse me.
And that's why just the one touchdown there for Hausler. But again, the numbers fairly similar, and it's interesting to see how he would translate or project into this offense. Let's kind of change gears, unless there's another thought you have about Hausler. But to this Cardinals team, making some moves, what do you think about the rumors, Adrian Peterson? We've heard that a couple times linked to the Cardinals. Is there anything to that?
You know, I really don't think so. I think simply because what it's going to take to trade for him is not something the Cardinals will do. You know, Steve Keim, the general manager for Arizona, isn't the type of guy to mortgage the house on one player. And he simply just, if they can get him for, you know, a second or third round pick, I think that they would definitely do that type of deal. But I just don't think the Vikings are going to let Peterson go for that little. And then when it comes to restructuring, you know, his contract, if Peterson were to get traded, Arizona is not going to take on that much of a salary and that much of a cap hit. You know, they restructured Larry Fitzgerald this year. They restructured Carson Palmer. So they're going to need Peterson to really, you know, to shrink that number quite a bit. And I just don't see Peterson doing it. You know, I've talked to a few people over the last couple months about this, and, you know, they all kind of have the same message around the league. If you're a running back, why are you going to take more money or take less money at this point in your career? You know, you need to maximize all this time you have left, because we never know. You know, granted, he's a freak in nature. He's a freak athlete.
Yep.
But, you know, who knows how much longer Peterson has. So I don't see him restructuring his contract to where the Cardinals would need it to be. And I don't see the Cardinals giving up, you know, those types of first-round picks that I think that would you know, make the Vikings be interested in trading him.
With that said, is that why there's every mock draft you seem to look at, it's about 80% running back to the Cardinals? Is that valid, and is that one of the biggest needs going into the draft?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, last year they had a pretty good backfield week one and two with Andre Ellington and Jonathan Dwyer. Then Jonathan Dwyer gets arrested and he's put on the non-football injury list, and he's gone for the rest of the season. And with that, Arizona lost a big-bodied back who can get those tough yards, and their backfield was all about 5'9", 5'10", for the rest of the year. They were fast, but they weren't strong and powerful. And guys like Melvin Gordon, you know, Todd Gurley even, those guys can bring some power to that backfield. So it can be kind of a 1-2 punch with one of those guys and Andre Ellington.
I liked Ellington, but certainly not the kind of the big back that you're looking for to kind of shoulder the load. How's everything going with Carson Palmer down there in the quarterback situation for Arizona?
You know, good. From everything I hear, he's ahead of schedule on his rehab. He's itching to get back on the field, but Bruce Arians has been pretty, consistent in saying that he's not going to let Palmer back just, during OTAs and minicamp. I think that's more to protect Palmer, because Carson's the type of guy where once he gets going, he just kind of gets up to full speed real quick. And coming back from that second, you know, ACL injury in his career, they really want him to, they really want to make sure he's fully healthy by the time the season starts, which is kind of, you know, Captain Obvious here, but they don't want to risk that by him having any setback during OTAs or minicamp. So I don't expect him to take the field until maybe the last minicamp, and then, you know, for sure by training camp.
We talk about the Browns' schedule being a lot tougher this coming year, and a lot of that has to do with the NFC West being on the schedule. Do you see the West being as powerful as it was last year, or do you see it taking a step back at all?
No, I do. I think it's changing. You know, obviously Seattle's still going to be Seattle, and they just got a whole lot better by adding
Jimmy Graham
to that offense. I know, you know, coaches in Arizona were not too pleased by seeing that, because tight ends are one of Arizona's vice. They can just not they have a hard time to defending those big, tall, athletic tight ends. You know, and then you have the Cardinals, who obviously made the playoffs last year. And you know, I truly believe it's interesting, because if Arizona would have beat Atlanta in what, week 12 or 13. They would have clinched home field advantage in number one seed. And the whole playoff picture in the NFC would have been totally different. And if you have a healthy Carson Palmer, they beat Seattle once or twice, there's a good chance Seattle will make the playoffs. So the whole picture could have been different had those injuries not impacted Arizona last year. So I think, you know, they're going to continue to build on what they accomplished in 2014. I think St. Louis is going to be kind of the most interesting team to watch this year in the division. That defensive front is very, very, very good.
Yep.
But, you know, how will Nick Foles play in Jeff Fisher's system? I mean, I think that's kind of what everyone is waiting to see. They have a pretty talented wide receiving core. So I think from that standpoint, there's a lot of potential there. Now, I don't think San Francisco is going to be who they've been the last 4 years. I think under Tom Sula, there's a lot of question marks under, regarding whether he can actually be a good NFL head coach. Obviously, they lost quite a few pieces to their defense. You know, they added Darnell Dockett from the Arizona Cardinals. But he's, he'll be 34 next year, and he's coming off an ACL injury, so who knows how effective he'll really be. But, I think it'll still be a very good division. I think the bottom two teams, Seattle and St. Louis, San Francisco and St. Louis. I think you'll see San Francisco kind of drop to the bottom of the division.
I think they will, too. It's tough to get rid of a guy like Harbaugh and lose some key players from the heart and soul of that team, like Gore and Patrick Willis. It's going to be tough, certainly, for the San Francisco 49ers. Josh, final one, in case people are joining us, talking with Josh Weinfuss, who covers the Cardinals for ESPN, talking Rob Hausler. In your opinion, based on what you said earlier, it sounds like this is what you think, but if Rob Hausler were ever put in a situation where he could be a pass-catching tight end, play a good percentage of snaps, get a good amount of targets, he could be a very, very productive vertical-style slot tight end in the National Football League.
Yeah, I totally agree with that statement. I think he just has to maybe just focus on his hands a little bit more. He needs to improve. He needs to make sure he focuses on the ball coming into his hands. I think that was an issue from the last couple of years. But yeah, I think if he can be, if the Browns can find a role for him where he's part of the vertical passing game, I think he could be a very effective player.
Josh, appreciate the time. Thanks so much for joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. Josh Weinfuss again covered the Cardinals. He had seen Jim Dray go from Arizona to the Browns, and now the next year could be the exodus of Rob Hausler. And I like what he said at the end of that, Andrew. If Rob Hausler is in an offense where he can be a primary pass catcher, which is what Jordan Cameron was, that he could be very productive in the NFL. And I think when you look at the dollars Jordan Cameron's going to get, and you look at the dollars that you would imagine Rob Hausler would get if he ends up here with the Browns, could be a very nice value for a guy who's going to bring you a pretty similar skill set.
Right, and you're not locking yourself into saying we're done at tight end. I said that earlier. But if you get it at the right value, which you typically, if you're signing
at
players
this point,
at this stage, you're likely getting them at a good value. So anyone that you can find with upside at this point in the free agency process, you typically give a hard look to.
Well, what I would like about it is it's identifying a guy who's undervalued because he was never in the system or allowed to take advantage of what are his natural strengths. And you'd think that the Browns would be bringing him here to try and take advantage of those natural strengths and then therefore get a great return on their investment with a guy like Rob Hausler, if that's what happens. All right, when we come back, we're going to dip into the mailbag, bring in our producer, Mr. Jason Gibbs, open the mailbag up. 216-578-0850. And we'll also hit you up with the comments from Alex Mack. Just posted a story about it at NFL.com right now. Mack's comments from earlier today on SiriusXM NFL Radio. We'll be back with that right after this.